18-year-old Cameron Giselle Booker was charged with assault after the incident on campus where students had gathered to mourn the loss of Charlie Kirk, who was assassinated last week. Booker appears to chant a celebration of Kirk's death and then was involved in a confrontation with two different people.
I'm not emotional, ma'am. Don't tell me what I am and what I'm not. You can get out of my face because I could tell you what you are, but you won't like it.
You're being aggressive. 10 minutes ago, you're being aggressive.
I'm not being aggressive. My voice is very calm. You're calling me aggressive because I'm a black woman.
We're not.
Governor Greg Abbott took to social media saying she picked the wrong place to taunt the death of Kirk.
The Texas Education Agency is going after teachers that post negative things about Kirk. They're reviewing 180 complaints. Zeph Capo is the president of the Texas AFT, says the TEA Commissioner Mike Morath's on a witch hunt.
He's trampled on people's rights to have some level of due process. And frankly, rather than being a public servant that is apolitical, has decided to take gasoline and pour it onto a political fire and light the match.
In a letter, Morath warned superintendents that teachers that post or shared content would be referred for investigation for possible violations of the teacher's code of ethics.
Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country, a place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today we're talking about how the political climate of the United States is creating strange bedfellows. In the wake of the assassination of conservative youth organizer and debating firebrand Charlie Kirk, people are taking positions you may not have imagined. On one side, respected educators have been accused of celebrating murder. And say what you will, at a base level, you don't have to be a parent to want the people guiding today's youth to teach them that killing is bad. On the other, some who loved and adored Kirk and the platform that he stood for are saying it's wrong to prosecute those celebrating his murder. Essentially, philosophies on free speech are pushing people to sides where you wouldn't expect to find them. And somewhere in the middle, many are wondering why the division in the U.S. has escalated to the point where a young man's senseless shooting death becomes a political tit for tat.
The murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is making many people question if free speech is under attack at this moment in history. Dr. James Noss, chair of the History Department at Oakland University, joins us live with more. Welcome in, Dr. Noss. Let's talk about this. What does free speech mean?
Well, I mean, to a university, free speech is at the core of really what we do. You know, our mission, whatever university you're at, is or ought to be to pursue the truth. And that requires having sort of a what a lot of people would call a marketplace of ideas, which includes potentially offensive ones or offensive to some people. And we believe that by having those sort of pressed into each other, we ultimately get closer to the truth. So suppressing that in any way undermines the very values of what we do at a university, but then more broadly to society at large, you know, democracy depends on free speech to function. So it's chilling in all kinds of ways.
Talk about this, Dr. Noss, because again, you've given us this overview, this definition of what free speech means. What does the impact of free speech, or therein the repressive nature of actually having the right to have free speech, do on something like a college campus?
Well, if I'm understanding your question, I mean, I think in this particular case where we're talking about violence, that potentially is going to have a long-term chilling effect on free speech at a college campus. You know, the mission of universities, as I said before, is to have a wide range of ideas, and so universities oftentimes provide a forum for ideas from all across the political spectrum, which at any given point some group of people finds offensive. And you can imagine university administrators are going to be asking difficult questions about, should we invite this person? Should we invite this person? Even if you invite them, you have to imagine speakers are going to be more nervous. Perhaps they have higher security requirements and all that sorts of stuff. And all of that leads to less ideas being shared, which is bad.
Absolutely. Joining us now on the live line as we speak about the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk, and again, the results thereafter, it's making people question if free speech is under attack at this moment in history. Noss, if you can give a characterization of what is going to be the path moving forward, how would you say it will be?
It's a good question, and I wish I had a certain answer for you. I mean, I fear that a violence like this, particularly violence at a university like this, is going to have a decreased number of sort of controversial speakers from sort of any stripe willing to go to campus and being invited to campuses and stuff like that. And so I think there are going to be less ideas in that marketplace of ideas being shared, which is overall bad for universities. But the real problem is it's bad for society when that happens. I fear that's the case. I hope that it's not the case. And I hope, and we've seen pretty widespread condemnation. And so I hope that there are brave university employees, brave administrators, brave college presidents willing to still sort of host diverse opinions, even if they can upset some people on campus. But I fear that it may not happen as much.
Local Springfield TV anchor Benny Ray Harmony tried to exercise her right to free speech when she spoke lovingly of Kirk during her on-air shift. Let's see where that got her and what the Mark Cox Show thinks about it.
A Springfield, Illinois TV reporter who gave a heartfelt, emotional tribute to Charlie Kirk, who she worked with at Turning Point USA, and she shared that relationship and those thoughts on the senseless and evil killing of Charlie Kirk last week on a local newscast.
She knew him.
Yeah, she absolutely knew him. They worked together, and she worked for Turning Point. Anyway, what you're about to hear got her suspended. She would later resign, saying she could not work for an organization that would suspend her for basically sharing her heart. You decide, should this message get you suspended from a TV station? This is Benny Ray Harmony giving her perspective on the Charlie Kirk death on WICS-TV up in Springfield, Illinois. Hit it.
I want to talk about something for a minute, and it is heavy, so please bear with me. I want you to know that it's okay if you feel sadness. It's okay if you feel, if you're grieving. 2 days ago, I lost a mentor, my first boss, the first person who made me believe in myself, that encouraged me to chase this dream that you're watching right now, Charlie Kirk. There's a lot going on in our world right now, in our country, but I want to say one thing. Lean on your neighbors. Speak up for what you believe in. I don't care what it is. I want to share with you one of my favorite sayings that Charlie would always tell us at the office. He would yell it from the mountaintops, so please listen. When conversations stop happening, when individuals become wordless, that's when violence begins. So if you do one thing today, make it be with passion, with conviction. Stand up for your friends. Stand up for your beliefs and speak loudly, even if your voice shakes. Your words have meaning. Your values have purpose. Never forget that. Thank you, CK. You changed my life.
Huh. Okay.
Wow. I've got chills right now.
How does that get you suspended from a TV station?
Talking about your personal relationship with a guy who was just murdered. She didn't criticize anyone. She tried to pass on the same advice Charlie had given to her. He had a profound impact on her life. Most news directors, I think, would want you to express that, wouldn't you? That was an emotional piece.
My broadcasting career started at this TV station.
Really?
Yeah, that was my first job. Was right out of college. I got a weekend sports job at WICS-TV. Later went to WAND-TV, which was over in Decatur, then to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and eventually worked my way back to St. Louis. But I'm appalled that if any news director ever called in a colleague of mine because of this heartfelt, I'd walk out with her. I would call for a mutiny of the entire newsroom. How dare they tell this girl she doesn't have the right in a time of obvious pain, and she's, you know, close to Charlie. She worked for Charlie. She was in daily meetings with Charlie when they worked together at Starting Point USA. It was her first boss. And for her not to be able to go on air and share that experience, number one, I am sure her viewership was very appreciative of her honesty and her openness there. But no.
So they suspended her for what she said.
Yes.
And then she chose to resign because of that right. because of what they did.
And you and I have both been in these situations where there was a graphic over her shoulder while she was giving this report that said marketplace. I am guessing she's a business reporter there.
Or was doing a business report. Yeah,
and
some
she
sort.
Diverted from giving the business report, the marketplace. May have surprised the producer. We talked about that.
Probably some
Ethan,
hard
Ethan lefty. And I were saying, well, wasn't the scripts approved? Normally, yes, a producer, an executive producer, looks at your script before you go on. But in small markets, because everybody's so busy and they're under, they're overworked, underpaid, and there's not a lot of people in there, chances are that script did not get read before it went on. So she may have gone out of bounds on the role of which she plays at that station because when I saw the marketplace thing, she probably was not doing the report she was supposed to give and gave this instead. But that's still a slap on the wrist, especially at a time when everybody was hurting and it was the top news story of the day. Do the markets really matter on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday evening or even Thursday morning? Whenever this report was given, I think it was Thursday she gave the report the day after. Nobody really cares. Everybody was talking about the Charlie story. The fact she may be diverted from her normal thing. I'm speculating on why this suspension occurred, but good for her to say, I won't work for a station that won't have my back when I'm being vulnerable and I'm sharing my personal relationship
with
Charlie.
Which they encourage you to do in most cases.
And talk about a young girl with conviction. God love her, and her faith obviously is out in front of her life, and she'll do just fine.
I have formally resigned from WICS ABC News Channel 20, effective immediately. This is guided by my values that are essential to who I am, to which I refuse to set aside in order to keep a job. I choose my faith and love of country and always will. Thank you, Springfield, my home, my community, my people. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders, and God bless these United States of America.
Yeah.
They should go beg that girl to come back to work for them.
Well, and if there's enough public outcry, they very well might. And who knows? There could even be legal action against them. She may have a legal case. Sometimes it isn't right to resign. I think I might have stayed in the fight a little longer, and definitely if I had filed suit against an inappropriate suspension, and stay on the air. Make them, take you off is what I probably would have done.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I would not have given them the satisfaction of a resignation. I'd make them fire me.
On the other hand, Tara Servatius at WORD Radio believes that the left is to blame for political violence escalating in the U.S. and should be silenced when they go too far. Here's Tara.
You gotta love the smackdown that's going on here. The leadership of Clemson tried to hide behind free speech, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yes, we have to protect those advocating for murder, celebrating murder, or even, suggesting future murder should take place of people we disagree with. Well, First Amendment, gotta protect him. And Alan Wilson, our attorney general, sent the leadership of Clemson a letter saying, South Carolina state law that says, government can't fire people for their political beliefs. And he explained legally that does not apply to this situation. It does not apply to advocating for murder. It only applies to politics, i.e. advocating for murder is not a legitimate political position. It's incitement to violence. So you can fire them. And I loved how he just ripped the carpet out from underneath them as they were trying to hide behind, First Amendment, and we can't legally fire them. And we got to keep them on staff here at Clemson so they can, go ahead and explain to the next generation how murder is good and we should do it. So that was awesome. Good for him to do that and undercut them because they were trying to use that argument first. And then they tried to use we'll suspend them while we investigate. And now they're like, okay, we'll fire one of them. And it appears they didn't say who they fired, Lee, but I'm pretty sure it was Robin Newberry. Just reading between the lines, if two professors are left, well, he's not a professor. He was had a six-figure salary, head of their asbestos remediation program. And he was the one who was encouraging more murders, saying everybody should be like Luigi Mangione and Tyler Robinson. And even had a couple of ideas for who should die. Was very happy that Charlie Kirk was dead. Said the country was better off for it. So it appears he's been fired. So my guess is the other two, they say they're professors. Well, nobody should buy the Clemson bait and switch because this is what they're doing. They're saying, well, you know, okay, we'll leave them on the payroll. All you folks out there, they want to kill because that's us. That's right-wing Christians. You go ahead and pay their salaries, but don't worry. We won't put them in. We'll pull them back from the classroom. But if you notice, Clemson has not said permanently. There's no timeline on it. It's just we'll pull them out of the classroom. Yeah, until we're not looking anymore. You'll put them right back. You know what is astonishing to me, Lee?
What's that?
The political capital that the leadership of Clemson is expending to protect Democrats who want murder, liberals who want murder of people they disagree with. The goodwill. I mean, I can't even imagine what this is costing them in alumni donations. And I see the text line, alumni, I'm never writing a check again. One guy said that he had contacted the Alumni Association because he had recently written a check and he wants the money back. So you're tarnishing your reputation and hurting fundraising, maybe even hurting your ability to be funded, because now Nancy Mace is seeking at the federal level to defund these institutions, all to protect professors advocating for murder or celebrating murder. I mean, it really shows you, this is instructive, parents, who is running these colleges. This is not, think about where you work for a minute, Lee. I mean, me, you, and yeah. Normal people even, and not even, I guess we're not normal people, just normal people that are going to work at GE today.
Yeah.
And pick that, Michelin, I don't
or
know.
BMW, Michelin, you know, any of these.
You show up at work, and you start talking about how it's a really good idea to kill people you disagree with. Is that normal?
No. You would be, someone from HR would be handing you a box to take your things out.
Right.
To the parking lot.
That's how it works. You can't come to work and, well, you know, really love that murder the other day. Hey, here's, you know, we should murder some more people too. And you're just walking around the break room like that. I mean, by noon, you're going to be sitting at HR. This is how normal people live. Why does the leadership of Clemson think? It just shows you how out of the norm, how radical these people are, that is normal. We have to protect that. We can't fire them. Sorry. Huh? When Alan Wilson, again, our attorney general, is like, no, you can. I've looked at the law. Not only can you fire them, I can promise you that as the attorney general of South Carolina, there will be no prosecution for the firing. So that's gone now. They can't say that. These are not normal things. Think about neighborhood barbecue, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have friends, they come over, maybe some neighbors come over. Some guy's just sitting there talking about killing people. Is that normal?
No.
Is that socially acceptable?
He's not getting seconds on the barbecue. That's
He's not in my house. Everybody would be looking around, he'd get kind of quiet, you know, awkward. That's a weird dude. Yeah, I know. Where does he live? Yeah, did you invite him? Maybe, you know, just kind of show him the door. I mean, it would be a buzzkill, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's just not socially normal. This is not within the norms of American society. And yet Clemson wants to protect them. The leadership wants to protect this. I've never seen anything like this. This is incredible. Texter writes, I'm a 38-year-old lifelong Clemson football fan. No more. Texter writes, Tara, as soon as the attention fades away, Clemson will put them back in the classroom. So says Kim. Yeah, so fast your head will spin. And, you know, now that these professors are getting away with this, because that if you're still collecting your salary, you're getting away with it. We've got another employee of Coastal Carolina now who is out there posting things, saying violence is never the answer, ignores reality. Violence freed slaves. Violence stopped Hitler. Violence protects families from attackers when police can't get there in time. The truth is violence has ended more evils than peaceful words ever have. He reposts Nancy Mace, Representative Nancy Mace, who's running for governor, saying, we know Charlie Kirk would want us to pray for such an evil, a lost individual like Tyler Robinson to find Jesus Christ. We will do the same. All she's saying is she's going to pray for Tyler Robinson. We should too. And this person who works for Coastal Carolina calls her a two-faced, starts with C, ends with T. But with how much she loves throwing slurs around on the congressional floor, she might not be far behind, saying she should be the next to be killed with fingers crossed.
Oh, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a problem. And Representative Adam Morgan this morning with he's with the South Carolina Freedom Caucus is publicizing this one. And they've gotten several people fired, including the Greenville County teacher who, you know, kudos to Greenville County schools.
Oh, they didn't waste. They didn't waste any time.
Well, I don't understand what Clemson's problem is. And I'm telling you, these kind of employees look at, oh, cool, you can talk murder and keep your job at Clemson. I'm going to do it, too. And this is what keeps it going. There's got to be a social price for this. Again, I would never support any of these people losing their social media accounts. I don't want that to happen to them. That is your First Amendment right, even if you're a creepazoid. I don't want it taken from them. But you don't get to have a job, not at my expense, not my taxpayer dollars, and not when you're suggesting Nancy Mace should be next. That's not, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to have a debate on who should be killed. Do you see what they're trying to do? The left is using this opportunity. They never let an opportunity go to waste. Using this opportunity to establish for the first time that advocating for the murder of those on the right is protected speech, and the new norm is you get to keep your job while you do it.
Well, they're trying to normalize acts of domestic terrorism.
Yes. Yes, they are right now. And Clemson, I can't believe this. Clemson is leading the way. All morning I've been saying, here is the email for the president of Clemson, president@clemson.edu. Especially if you are a donor and alumni, let them know you are not happy. Use words like please and thank you. And remember, we are Charlie Kirk, okay? Write your email politely, but firmly, as Charlie Kirk would. And let them know this is not socially acceptable. These are not norms that we teach the future leaders, the students of our state. We do not normalize murder at Clemson.
When the cold sets in, keep your home cozy and your energy bills low with a high-efficiency Carrier system. From frosty mornings to snow-filled nights, Carrier's innovative heating solutions, like the Carrier Infinity Heat Pump, deliver efficient and reliable warmth and year-round comfort. And right now, there's never been a better time to upgrade your comfort. Get 0% financing for 60 months on Carrier systems, plus rebates and incentives for a limited time. You make it a home. Let Carrier make it comfortable. Learn more at CarrierColorado.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Colorado. T&Cs apply.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now is former South Carolina Freedom Caucus Chairman Adam Morgan, who ran for Congress, is still very involved in running the Freedom Caucus operation. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Tara.
Let me tell you what, you have done an amazing job outing, teachers, professors, employees of our South Carolina universities who have been pro-murder and celebrating the murder of Charlie Kirk, and in some cases, even suggesting there should be more murder.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is incredible.
It's shocking, galling. I don't even know the right word. That's why I've been so focused on it, because just to think that our own tax dollars are what are paying for these people, especially the professors and teachers. Like, we are paying for our own cultural demise, the indoctrination of our kids. And yeah, these acts can absolutely happen again. You read exactly the statement from the Coastal Carolina employee saying, you know, maybe Nancy should be next, fingers crossed. And then the Clemson professor who said in the world of Charlie Kirk to be a Tyler Robinson. I mean, he talks to kids every day. Charlie was shot on a college campus, and you have a professor saying that so that students can follow it. I mean, it's actually inciting violence. This stuff is serious. You know, if the colleges don't deal with this, I say defund them. Take every tax dime they're getting. I mean, Clemson gets $300 million, you know, of your taxpayer money. And that it's definitely state funded. Coastal Carolina gets a ton as well. All the 12 other colleges, I believe, across the country jumped right on this and fired the employees who either celebrated or incited violence. Clemson, we're on day five now. They fired one out of three and only yesterday. So 4 days into it, I mean, completely unacceptable. There should absolutely be repercussions. You know, yesterday I publicly said I think the president of Clemson should be removed. I mean, thinking of the irreparable harm and damage that's been caused to the university by the mishandling of this scandal. And I just hope Coastal Carolina jumps on it. And I hope everybody listening right now takes time. It's so easy to let your voice be heard. You email these guys, you know, president@clemson.edu and president@coastal.edu. You might think, oh, Coastal, that's the other side of the state. It's they're getting your taxpayer money. It's state tax dollars that goes to that school. And so let your voice be heard. These people need to do the right thing, and we need to take a stand right now.
I couldn't agree with you more, Adam Morgan, because you know what I think is going on here? And it's disgusting to see the leadership of our universities and the state involved in it. I think there's a sneaky move underhand to establish that advocating for the murder of the right is a right of our state employees and that we must protect it. And they're trying to create, you know, case history precedent. The left is really big on precedent. Oh, look, we'll see these people advocated for murder over here at Clemson and they got to keep their jobs. But the problem with it, and that's what they're hoping to establish, a new right, really. But the problem with it is that when these people don't lose their jobs, people on the left who are pro-murder, which is 25% of those who identify as very liberal in polling and 17% of those who identify as liberal, say violence can be the answer in the poll I just had, those people all get the right to do it too and keep their jobs. And so it becomes the norm. And now the next 12-year-old boy is going to spend the next 10 years hearing Nazi, 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 murder, murder, murder from adults in their sphere. And we've got to stop that. The work you're doing is important. Look, you have First Amendment right. You get to keep your X account all day long, your Facebook account. I don't want to take that from you, but you don't get to have a job.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it insane, the lunacy of the left, that what was it a couple years ago? They were telling us that, you know, it should be illegal for us to misgender somebody and that speech is violence and that, you know, that people should be censored that say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. But now they're all claiming, oh, no, it's free speech to incite violence and call people to murder other people in cold blood. I mean, you almost can't make this stuff up. It's like, no, you have a constitutional right to speech, but not to violent speech. Like that's how the Constitution. Ilhan Omar posted this yesterday when she's, you know, now getting censored for some of her comments about the First Amendment. I had a laugh. It's like, read the Constitution, honey. And we're talking about the U.S. Constitution. Read that one, since it's probably confusing for some of these people. But yeah, we've got to take a stand. You know, it was Charlie Kirk, you know, just the other day. And if we allow it to continue, that it could be anybody. It's not just Charlie. It's what he's saying, what he stood for. It's the belief system that they want to eradicate. And so if we don't stand up now, it's our future and our kids' future that's at stake.
Think about, Adam Morgan, where this has gone in South Carolina in 5 days. It's gone from the provost and the president of Clemson standing firmly behind the pro-murder professors, refusing to fire them, to now we've got a person out at Coastal Carolina suggesting Nancy Mace should be next for murder. When, yeah. I mean, think about this, a congresswoman we're now picking out new targets for murder? And what congresswoman? The congresswoman who, what has she been doing this week? She's out there advocating for the firing of the first set of pro-murder professors at Clemson. And she's, you know, writing a letter. She wants to defund Clemson. And I guess now I have to add Coastal Carolina to that list at the federal level if they're pro-murder. And I absolutely agree with her. While literally she's being targeted. So we have gone from sort of vague pro-murder sentiments, be it Tyler Robinson, you know, be it Luigi Mangione at Clemson, to specific pro-murder sentiments of, hey, Nancy Mace should be next.
Yeah, all in South Carolina. And you know, it's not just those schools. There's one at Winthrop. There's one at Presbyterian. I mean, it's kind of popping up everywhere. And the one in the high school. The key is you're noticing a trend. It's education seems to be the common denominator where most of these people are, which should be terrifying for all of us. And once again, it's completely funded on your dime. And, you know, we tried to defund DEI, what, 2-3 years ago? Actually, multiple times. The Freedom Caucus legislators, 1 year on the budget, I think it was 2 years ago, we put the amendments on every single college budget, including Clemson and including Coastal Carolina, and we said, this is how much money they reported to us that they're spending on DEI. Cut it. Slash it. Wisconsin did it. Florida did it. All these other states did it. We can do it. And you know what happened? That amendment was opposed and blocked and voted down by Republican elected officials in the House GOP caucus. They said, we can't do it. We don't need this. This is a non-issue. All the typical stuff. That they say, and here we are. So we tried. We warned them. Here we are, 3 years later, and you're seeing it's reared its ugly head. You see that it's in our colleges everywhere, and it's all been funded by us. So we've got to stop it. The Freedom Caucus and myself have called for a special session to defund Clemson if they don't fire these employees, and let's throw Coastal and Winthrop and some of these other in there that are getting funds if they don't deal with their employees. And to actually pass the bill to ban DEI and stop the funding that is continuing to allow and promote these individuals and this type of philosophy on our college campuses.
30 seconds, Adam Morgan. I've been trying to find anywhere where our governor has weighed in on this. Am I missing it, or can you not find that either?
Oh, no. And I jumped on him the other day. It's galling that every single elected official from the Freedom Caucus all the way to Lindsey Graham. I mean, even Lindsey Graham has weighed in on this. Everybody's called out Clemson and saying that this stuff needs to stop. And yet you've seen nothing from the governor he's the figurehead of the state. He's the one that we should be hearing the most from. And he said absolutely nothing. It's embarrassing. You know, the governor of Florida, the governor of Texas have jumped in and they're calling for the education department to investigate teachers that are posting this stuff. They're being proactive, and you have absolutely nothing from the current governor of South Carolina, Henry McMaster. And it's embarrassing, and I cannot wait to have a new governor. Y'all vet him well. Let's not make the wrong choice here. We need strong leaders, and it's sure is time for a change in South Carolina.
Adam Morgan, where can people track all the information that you have? I know you have a website.
My ex is kind of where I've been posting most of the stuff. So if you're on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, my @ is Rep Adam Morgan. That's where I've been posting a lot. I also try to keep it on other social medias, but that's really, I would even encourage people to get on there, even if you're not. It's great to keep up with the news and really a lot of call to actions to stay involved and engaged where you can actually make a difference, not just, you know, sit around stewing and fuming about it, but what can I actually do to help save our country.
I'd forgotten about this from 2023. Do you realize our Department of Homeland Security under Joe Biden declared Turning Point USA a terrorist organization that should be targeted because of its affiliation with Nazis? And they funded it with $40 million. Now, it wasn't just TPUSA that was on this chart published by the Department of Homeland Security. It was also the Breitbart.org, Heritage Foundation, PragerU, you know, other terrorist organizations. They handed out $40 million worth of grants. What did they pay for? What did they get for that? Now, keep in mind, this program's actually been around since Barack Obama. Donald Trump discovered it, defunded it. Joe Biden put it back in motion. So that's how old this is. What did this add up to? Well, as I put TPUSA into my massive searchable database, listen to that. It's amazing Charlie Kirk made it alive as long as he did. I'm truly in awe. But I want you to understand the scope of the violence that we are facing and the violent thugs that Clemson is protecting. Let's keep going. 2022, now funded by the Biden administration. The leftist thugs are everywhere. Headline, Charlie Kirk taunts furious far-left protesters waving signs against white supremacy as they storm Turning Point USA event at the University of New Mexico. It took riot police and a SWAT team to get Charlie Kirk and his, like, I guess, team of people that he had around them out of there without being beaten. Headline, 2023, left-wing activists smash windows, arrested at UC Davis, Charlie Kirk event. Violence comes after, get this, Chancellor prompted students to neutralize and negate TPUSA. And then this, Biden Department of Homeland Security paid $40 million for an anti-terror program, and they're literally paying left-wing violent activists to interrupt events by these groups. Nobody had more of these events than Turning Point USA. So this is a pattern. It's not new. It's not just some guy who had a mental breakdown in Utah. This has gone on and on and on. And if Clemson gets away with protecting pro-murder professors, Katie, bar the door. This is going to get so much worse.
Overall, whether you think the firings for social media posts about Charlie Kirk is starting to become a witch hunt, or that people who celebrate evil with their words should pay a price, what you're debating is the limit of free speech in America. We're going to leave you with a debate about that from the Kyle and Company talk show at WPHT in Philadelphia.
All right, let's debate what Pam Bondi said. 30.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society. We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Can I just say one thing?
Yep.
Let me just read this. Mm-hmm. Hate speech does not exist legally in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's all mm-hmm. speech. And all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. You know who wrote that? Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about very conversation, and it's a fun, fun conversation to have. But you're right. You know who would nail it? That's what is so sad to me. Charlie Kirk would have owned this conversation, and he would agree with Greg Stocker.
Thank you.
Here's what I believe, if I could just kind of parse through what they're all saying. And what was serious to me that I took note of, I mean, Stephen Miller and the Vice President of the United States and all of those political, people with jobs in the government. Okay. Yep. These are not commentators. So that makes it serious. So I believe that there's a big difference between somebody who makes a threat and that threat is backed up by some level of planning or plotting to harm people. But that's not what I would call threatening speech or even hate speech. It's a plot. It's a plan, right? And so I think that what Pam Bondi, I believe, you know, she's somebody who's trying to describe plans or plots to hurt individuals, to hurt people, to silence them. That's different because it is an action. But until the words go into an action, you know, you have to be careful with that. And I have no doubt that law enforcement at every level has dealt with that. And even I imagine that there are people in law enforcement who feel frustrated by this issue, that they're in situations, whether it's a domestic situation or a mental health situation. We've heard about this. We've heard about parents, caregivers, you know, and that sort of thing, husbands and wives, where they say, well, this person is they've threatened me, this and that. And they'll literally say, well, until they do something or show an action, we're powerless. We can't help you. I mean, that's something that I think law enforcement deals with on a routine basis. But Greg, to your point, you're exactly right. If somebody has hate speech or love speech, That's a concept.
Who defines it? Who defines what hate speech is?
It's still speech.
Well, you know what it really reminds me of? What is the definition of pornography, right? You go back to that Supreme Court case. Mm-hmm. You know it when you see it.
Yeah.
Hate speech, you know it when you see it, or you know it when you hear it. Whether something legally has a definition or common sense would imply that it exists, I think needs to be analyzed. I do think there is hate speech. I don't think the government should curtail or police it. I think you overcome it by better speech.
She's saying go after.
Yeah,
she
I don't
wants
agree
to go
with
after
that.
These people. That is what she's
okay,
saying.
Okay, so let's go through some examples. If somebody says on social media that works for a company, Bob Johnson works for Home Depot, and he posts on X, I want left-wingers to kill all white Christian males. Or let's flip it around. Bob Johnson works for Home Depot and says, I want every black human being killed. Is that hate speech? Does that lead to cancel culture? Does that lead to consequence culture with your employer? Is that something the government should arrest
no,
you for?
Absolutely not. Absolutely okay. not.
So then there's a couple other layers to this. I want to highlight a tweet, Zioli, actually two tweets from Rich. I think he nails these. 9 hours ago, Rich said, since we're talking about canceling, if we can't agree there's a difference, firing a comedian for jokes and a professor celebrating murder, then we have major problems. To quote Jules, it ain't the same effing ballpark. It ain't the same league. It ain't even the same effing sport. But let me ask you this, because this is, see, these are all great ideas and great thoughts, and I agree with them. But then when you start applying real life examples, so speech doesn't incite violence. I tend to agree with that. But if you're mentally ill, let's say Tyler Robinson, mentally ill, Ryan Wesley Ruth, Thomas Matthew Crooks, any of these people, left wing or right wing, that commit or attempt to accomplish these heinous acts. If you're mentally ill and you were driven to do this because you can't process and separate what a politician says versus what you apply practically to your life, how do we police and judge it then? Eventually, there's somebody out there that's going to believe what you are saying. I think there is an indirect correlation between hammering home something repeatedly. I don't know that there is a exact answer to all of this, but I am a believer in absolute speech. But that does not mean that we shouldn't have consequences. I agree hate speech exists, but I don't want her going after people for it. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I think that she... Okay, here's what I would say about Pam Bondi in this conversation. And we've seen this with Pam Bondi. Let's just go back to when she went on the Jesse Waters show. And she's an attorney who's argued in court. And so she's somebody who has a vast knowledge of the law. And so I wish she would quote the law here. I wish she would quote the law and talk about what law you can go after people for threatening action and they're plotting and planning to harm people. And so with free speech, the First Amendment, it's your public expression of your opinion without censorship. That's it. If you say things that are loving or hateful or so on, then look, it might be abhorrent to all of us. We may hate it. We may just shudder to think of it. It may be really ugly and nasty. But for her as an official within the United States government, she needs to specify what exactly she's talking about.
It's a good point.
I would say the same thing with Stephen Miller, who was a little more specific, and Vice President Vance as well yesterday speaking about this, because what they're talking about is cases by which there are people working together, coordinating together in coordinated efforts to then pass out printed information or information that's printed or passed along, let's say, on devices that is encouraging others to target people mm-hmm. for their political beliefs and, quote unquote, harass them, make them miserable, or take physical action against right. not only them, mm-hmm. but also their families.
Yes.
And so at what point does that crossover between, well, hey, I'm free on the internet and using the airwaves, which are the airwaves right now are government regulated. And if you're using such airwaves to pass along messages to others, to transmit war against people, to make that person intimidated, to make that person fearful, to physically do actions against that individual's freedom or liberty, well, now you're talking about more than just free speech.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.